Blog Talk Radio.
Play Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of it.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Yes, yes, yes. You are with the Sports City Chef in the building. It's the Callers Cookout, the villain versus the hero, timeless. We're good, always wins. But not today, because the villain's in charge. That's all I can tell you, because until then, I keep the trillion cut diamonds shining brilliant. Tell you half the story, the rest you filling in, long as the villain wins. So I'm with you. I'm here. It's a nice Wednesday. Had a beautiful day. Sports City Chefs, Callers Cookout. The call-in number, 929-477-2759. Be with you for the next 88 minutes or so. I got my main man, the co-host, the boss, the head honcho himself, TP Timeless, in the building. TP, what's going on, my big brother?
The same rapper said, I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, the kitchen timeless is alive. You will see, I came from CT, not only... But I'm hip-hop savior, so after this one, Barry, owe me a favor. When Timeless comes, you heard me. You already know what time it is. I'm back in Connecticut. You already know, just like Todd told y'all, Connecticut. I hope he understand what this one right here is about. I'm from Marcy. No,
TP coming at me. Trying to come at me. All right, I got to put the mask back on. Let me put my mask back on. Adjust it a little bit so you can see the raw flesh. But I can't have him winning. I got to go hard today. I got to go super hard. Love you, TP, in the building. And then we also got Big E, Easy E, Big E Money, Eric in the building. What's up, Eric?
Good evening, gentlemen. Excited to be here with my brothers, Timeless and the Villains. It's the College Cookout. Let's get it.
Let's have some fun. Like I said, call in number 929-477-2759. We with you. We here. We locked and loaded. Got a lot of stuff going on. The NFL draft. We got the NBA, the final month of the regular season, the push for the playoffs. A lot of interesting stories going on outside the world. But, hey, man, it's fun. We always get something cooking for you guys. So let's get it going. Let's get it popping. You know, I was going to lead off with the draft today, you know, because the draft is tomorrow, first round. You know, finally getting that going after months and months of debate. But we got some player movement, some remnant news going on here. So today, Teddy Bridgewater was traded by the Carolina Panthers to the Denver Broncos for a sixth-round pick, I believe. So that deal went off today. And then we had a signing, Antonio Brown, signed a one-year deal to return to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But let's start with the Teddy Bridgewater news. That is the bigger news of the day, I would believe. So let's get to that. And then we got some callers in queue that I'm definitely going to bring in. We got the phone lines are lighting up. So let's get it. TP Timeless, Teddy Bridgewater, traded to the Denver Broncos. What do you think about that move? How does it affect the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos heading into the draft? And what do you think is going to happen for Teddy Bridgewater? Will he get a shot or not? If you're talking, you're on mute.
Okay, I damn sure was running my mouth on mute. So as for Teddy Bridgewater, I feel like this secures the situation for them because they at least have two quarterbacks there that they can run with right now, but I think they'll probably be in the draft looking for another name. But for me and Teddy Bridgewater, I think that he can actually get out underneath center and start the season off and be okay. I don't want to say that he's going to have the run that he had in the Saints while Drew Brees was down or, you know, games that he was able to take advantage of while he was in Carolina. But he's definitely serviceable. A lot of people think, you know, up and down about him. But I'm a little pissed off with Carolina for them to go with Sam Darnold. Like, they've seen glimpses of, you know, greatness out of Sam Darnold, and I'm not buying that by any means. This is the guy that was on national TV that said he sees ghosts. Like, I can't shake that for them to bring him down to Carolina and be with a college coach to try and turn things around, you know. So, be it as it may, I think Carolina's on an extreme rebuild, but that's another situation. Hopefully they can't pin a lot of that to Teddy Bridgewater. But I think that this helps Denver, you know, at least have a quarterback that they feel somewhat secure, at least while the bumpy road begins from right now. But Carolina's in a whole nother scenario. But I feel bad that Bridgewater is kind of like the fall guy in this scenario on either end, whether it's Carolina or them bringing him into Denver and him learning a system anew.
Yeah, I think, you know, with Teddy, it was kind of a rough sled for Carolina. When he played pretty solidly, but I don't think he stayed healthy. I think a fresh start in Denver with, you know, I don't think Drew Lock is a lock, quote unquote, to be the starting quarterback there. He had an up and down season. So, ironically, he had a good game against the Carolina Panthers. But, I mean, you know, I think it's a good start for Teddy Bridgewater to get himself going. Eazy-E, I'll go to you, and then I'm going to bring the callers in. Give me your some this little appetizer I threw out here before we start cooking the big dishes with Teddy Bridgewater on the move, headed to Denver for a sixth-round pick.
I think this was a great move for the Denver Broncos. I'm a fan of Teddy Bridgewater, and I think this is a great move for Teddy Bridgewater to get his career back on track. I think Denver has a lot of nice young talent around him, Sutton and Judy, you know, some really good receivers that are up and coming. They got a pretty good running game, 1-2 tandem. So I think Teddy Bridgewater coming to this offense could be a really good thing if he can stay healthy. So I look for him to take over the starting job from Drew Lock. I don't see Teddy Bridgewater losing in, you know, the preseason to Drew Lock. I think Teddy Bridgewater will be the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. And I think it's an overall good move for everybody involved, except the Carolina Panthers, like Timeless touched on. Hey, all their chips are in with Sam Darnold, so be it. So this move helps Teddy Bridgewater out, and I think his, you know, we're going to see some nice things from the Denver Broncos and him this year.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if both teams are still in the market for the quarterbacks. There's some good quarterbacks in this draft. I wouldn't be surprised at the very least that not only that Denver, but Carolina is banking on a quarterback in this draft and having a transition quarterback in tow while they try to sort out their quarterback situation. But I'll bring in my main man from the 703, Mr. Sirius himself, Aaron Simmons, in the building. What's up, my big brother?
What's going on, my dude? How we doing? Eazy-E on the ones and twos, just cracking. CP Thomas, you know what I'm saying? Always wanting around, man. What's going on, fellas? How we doing?
We doing. You know it's, you know what time it is. It's the cookout. We throwing it out there. I figured I'd throw some appetizers. You know, some people don't like vegetables on the grill. So I figured I'd get those out of the way, get the corn and get the, you know, sauteed onions and peppers and stuff out of the way before we cook the steak.
Right.
You know what I mean? Teddy Bridgewater, Teddy Bridgewater on the move, headed to the Denver Broncos, traded from Carolina. You know, give me your thoughts. I mean, you broke this a little earlier for us, and then, you know, I kind of ran with it.
Yeah.
What do you think about Teddy Bridgewater heading to Denver?
I don't think anything of it, to be painfully honest with you. This is a guy, in my honest opinion, whose best years of football are behind him. I heard CP say, you know, he potentially could be the fall guy. I can see that. But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, if Teddy Bridgewater played, you know, winning football, and if Teddy Bridgewater was able to throw the football down the field accurately, if Teddy Bridgewater could stay healthy, in my opinion, he wouldn't be in the position that he's in. So I understand, like, the writing was on the wall, in my opinion, when the Carolina Panthers made the move for Sam Darnold, that Teddy Bridgewater's time in Carolina was over. I'm not too sure he's a quote-unquote lock to beat out Drew Luck for the starting quarterback position. You know, this is a guy who has sat behind, you know, people who, you know, I think he's better than or better than him. So it wouldn't shock me one bit if Teddy Bridgewater, you know, is traded, you know, during this draft yet again. You know, if the Denver Broncos can piece something together, or if he's a camp casualty or something like that. You know, I'm not as high on Teddy Bridgewater as others have been. So to me, the move means nothing. You know, the move to me means that, you know, the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos are still searching for a quarterback, you know, and again, you said it to me, you said it before you threw it to me. It wouldn't shock me if they drafted one, you know, in this upcoming draft this weekend. It, at the end of the day, gentlemen, it means nothing. It really does mean nothing.
I mean, I'm not going to say it means nothing. I think it is kind of significant because it's kind of setting the table of where these guys are going to be thinking tomorrow night. I think, to be honest with you, I think both teams are looking at the quarterbacks they have in tow with Teddy Bridgewater in Denver and now with Darnold in Carolina as guys that either they stick and they might be able to trade them, get something out of them, or use them as they see fit, or kind of move on to a new page. You know, maybe it's like kind of like an asset that if they play well, maybe there's a team that needs a quarterback halfway through the season, the quarterback gets hurt, they can make a trade, get these guys, we get some picks out of it, and then we can bring in the young guy that we draft. You know, maybe something like that. So I think it is kind of a, you know, that kind of asset for me. But I think Teddy Bridgewater can play, and I definitely think he can play better than Drew Lock. Drew Lock threw, like, I think 15 some-odd interceptions, 8-10 as a starter in Denver. It wildly inconsistent. I just don't see how, you know, to Eric's point, how Bridgewater could not beat him out for the starting job, even though Peyton, the GM, said all the right things and said, you know, he likes Locke and likes his potential and all that. You got to say that. He's on your team. But let's be honest, I think Bridgewater's a better quarterback right now than Drew Locke. So, but I'm going to bring in a caller from the 561. We got Ryan in the building. Ryan, how you doing tonight, my brother?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
Awesome. So welcome to the.
I want
to
know. Thank you. I want to know everybody's thoughts on J.C. Horn, because I worry a little bit about his ball skills from everything I've watched. I've watched all the tape. I've also watched him live, so I just wonder about him.
Which one? Who's that?
J.C. Horn.
Okay.
Joe,
I don't know.
The cornerback.
Yeah, so I haven't seen much of him. TP, I don't know if you've seen him. I haven't seen a lot of him to really kind of give a good gauge on his ball skills. I don't even know where he's ranked. I have to do a little research. TP, I don't know if you know anything about
him. He's ranked pretty
high.
He's
nice.
He might fall to those punk Giants. So that's one thing that may end up happening. He has one of those good ball skills. He can jump. He has one of the higher vertical leaps. So a lot of quarterbacks rather not try to throw that jump ball for him to go testing. And he has good speed too. So you got to do your research on him because J.C. Horn is a big name. He's potentially top 10, top 15 pick.
Okay. I mean, I did.
Go ahead. He's definitely potentially in the top 10, top 15, and he's hard to get off once he sticks you. I just wonder if he's a guy who you think is better at somewhere like safety based on some of those ball skills, because I've thought about that.
Well,
after
I mean,
watching
here's the
thing, tape.
Like, he's a corner. He's a corner there. He's a corner from the University of South Carolina. And thing is, for me, it's the Tams and him, in my honest opinion. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if Dallas goes and gets Sertan, you know, that's the next best cornerback, you know, in the top 15, in my honest opinion, for what he's able to do. His ball skills are immeasurable, like Keith alluded to. I mean, the man can, you know, jump out the gym, but the man got leaping ability. In my honest opinion, you know, his man-to-man coverage skills are there. I don't like him if he goes to a team that plays a lot of zone. So if you're a zone-based team a lot, I don't like him playing zone. But if you're, you know, strap-up man-to-man type of team, this dude, in my honest opinion, is somebody to take a look at. Now, if he falls to the Giants, damn, you know what I'm saying? But honestly, it really depends on how the board shakes out. I mean, obviously, a lot of people are earmarking Sertan to go to Dallas. So if Sertan goes to Dallas at 10, you know, Horn is the next guy up, and you know, it's game on.
Yeah, I mean, Eric, I don't know if you have an opinion. Eric, if you have an opinion on it, I mean, I do remember him. Well, it's funny because I've looked at other people. I looked at other prospects and rankings. Some people have Caleb Farley as the number one corner over Sertan, which is I don't know where they're looking. Sertan's the best corner in this draft, and it's not even close. And then he got Asante Samuel Jr. from Florida State, that is ranked pretty high as well. So I mean, the one that I'm looking at, I don't feel is too credible. It has Horn as the fourth best corner. I'm not buying that. But Eric, I don't know if you have an opinion on the cornerback in this draft. More importantly, J.C. Horn and Patrick Sertan, and some of the other guys I mentioned. Go ahead.
He's one of the most physical, you know, and aggressive cornerbacks for sure. Has good hands, but just like you said, I would put those other guys ahead of him. He's definitely worth drafting. I don't think he's top 15 by any means because of the cornerbacks you just mentioned. But this is a guy, you know, that can make an impact in the NFL on a team that needs him. But if you're looking for cornerback help, you're going to go with, Sertan, Asante Samuel Jr. Before this guy. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not a bad pick from what I've heard from you guys. And I saw a little bit of him, not a lot, in the SEC. Listen, the Giants, I don't think – I'm a Giants fan, so I'm going to take it back to what TP and Sirius said. Giants don't really need him. I think, you know, we've made some good moves to get some help with Bradbury and Logan with the signings that we had in the offseason. We really need the help up front in the edge rushers. And you know, what I think a lot of people are saying is that Micah Parsons is probably the guy that the Giants will take. At 11, I think it's a little high, but that's the guy that they need. So we'll see. But Ryan, I don't know if you have any other opinion on J.C. Horn and some of the other cornerbacks that we talked about that you wanted to throw on the on the grill.
No, I think where you got him at about 3-4 is about where he should go as far as the cornerbacks go. The Giants, I don't know if they go Parsons, and I'm a Giants fan. I have a feeling they probably go receiver. That's just an opinion of mine, and stack that wide receiver core, because you got two wide receivers who very much could get injured and are pretty injury prone. So an extra receiver is not a bad idea with that receiving core.
I flip-flop with you, Ryan, and I don't know how you guys feel. I mean, let's talk about the draft. Let's get into it a little bit because, you know, it can break a lot of different ways. I think everybody kind of understands that the first three picks are going to be quarterbacks.
Right.
Lawrence, Wilson, and then the number three pick, Eric, I don't know what you guys are going to do. I'm hearing Mac Jones. It should be Fields.
If they don't draft
Justin
Fields, man, I'm going to be really upset, put it that way. I mean, it shouldn't even be a debate. If they go with Mac Jones, I mean, that's lunacy. Justin, and the thing about his epilepsy coming up into play, it's never affected his football playing career. So, you know, if the 49ers are going to ding him on that when they had a great second pro day with him. This guy can beat you with his legs and his arm. He's extremely accurate, good football IQ. So I think it's a no-brainer to draft him. But if they don't draft him, I'm going to be completely shocked and disappointed.
And I agree with you. Listen, it's kind of gone all over the place. They like all five quarterbacks, and why wouldn't they? They're all great. But we know the top two aren't going to be there. So it's between Lance, it's between to your point, Jones, and it's between Fields. So for me, it should be Fields. There's no way at the third pick Mac Jones should be picked. And I like Mac Jones. I thought he played very well at Alabama. I like him. But to me, there's no way that you take him at the number three pick. But then you go Atlanta.
Yeah, let's look at the history of Alabama top quarterbacks going into the NFL. They all turned to garbage. None of them are superstars in the league or ever have been. You know,
You have to go way back, Big E. We're talking Joe Namath. Okay?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how far back you have to go to say an Alabama quarterback was a star in the NFL. Go ahead.
Case can be made about the Ohio State quarterback, too, from the Nintendo League. So just because the Alabama quarterbacks don't play well in the league, so same can be said for the Ohio State quarterback. So to use that logic is not accurate. But to your point, E, you know what I'm saying, if the 49ers end up drafting Mac Jones, I'm going to call you just to do a welfare check on you tomorrow. Just letting you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I look up for my man. I'm doing a welfare check.
Yep.
Absolutely. Listen, I mean, after that, I mean, and TP, I want to get your opinion. Like, what should Atlanta do? Like, should they trade back? Should they take the quarterback of the future and move on from Matt Ryan? Kyle Pitts is the guy. I think Kyle Pitts is the best player in this draft, okay? I think Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback, and you always need a quarterback at that top position because that's just – unless you're talking about an LT level or we're talking about, you know, Jonathan Ogden level tackle, a quarterback is usually the number one pick. But I think the best player, the best prospect in this draft is Kyle Pitts, you know, the tight end out of Florida. So, TP, like, what should Atlanta do with their pick? Should they – I mean, are we talking – quarterback for the future, best player available. Should they shore up the offensive line and build around, try to get a last gasp out of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones? Like, what do you think they should do, TP?
If one of the big-name quarterbacks is there, they got to go after a quarterback because there's a lot of people saying that they should move on from Matt Ryan. I'm actually a Matty Ice fan, but I want to see how long in the tooth they'll go with him because he still can make all of the passes. He's still a winner, even though that they have been losing – I want to say the past season or so, but, I mean, I want him to get over that hump of that Super Bowl hangover, you know what I'm saying, and losing that lead. But they know that the talent they had around them. Now, if all those quarterbacks are gone, you do go after the best player available. If Pitts is there, they could go after him as that hybrid tight end that they could bring in there. But definitely, if it were me, there's a quality quarterback that they can go after and get. Let them learn behind Matt Ryan as best as possible, then go after a quarterback because they're not probably going to fall in line to get a good quarterback. And let's just say Atlanta does have a decent season. They probably will rob themselves again from a quality name that they can have behind center. So get a name that they could get to learn from behind them, similar to what Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers did, and try to move that way. But if they can get a better name of a quality player like, you know, before I mentioned Pitts or other names that could be available, I think they go that route. But definitely, I think they got to go with a trigger man first.
TP, you bring up a great point. If Fields
if 49ers pass on Fields, and if I'm Atlanta, I have to take Fields. Like, Ryan, I don't know if you agree or disagree, but to TP's point, if one of those names, I think obviously Wilson and Lawrence aren't going to be there. But depending on what the 49ers do, it might dictate what the Atlanta Falcons should do with their pick. Do you kind of agree with TP's logic there?
Yeah, and I think you definitely have to move on. We have to remember Matty Ice is about 32. If you're going to get a good trade for him, you're going to get it now.
Right.
So if you're thinking of moving on from Matty Ice, now's the time to do it. That's another thing we all have to take into consideration. If you want to move on, now's the time to do it. And you may not have the same draft pick as high next year, as TP said. So take your chance, get your quarterback now, and then let's see, you know, Matty Ice, if he plays well and you decide not to trade him, okay. If you decide to trade him, okay, you got both options.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Serious, go ahead. I want to hear your opinion. Go ahead.
Can I play devil's advocate here? So, on the record, I honestly think that what both Ryan and TP said is smart. However, the Atlanta Falcons really don't struggle on the offensive side of the ball. Their issue is defense. So, just spitballing here, what if at four, instead of looking at a quarterback or a tight end wide receiver hybrid, they go get a Micah Parsons, they go get a Patrick Surtain, they go get somebody to shore up their defense, which is essentially one of the massive problem areas for this Atlanta Falcons team? That wouldn't shock me either, because let's keep it a buck. Their issue is on that side of the football. This would be a whole different ball club. I mean, they would have won at least three to four more games last year if they could stop somebody.
Mm-hmm. I think, to your point,
I would agree.
If you're going to do that,
go
ahead, Ryan, and then I'll clean it up. Go ahead.
Okay. I would agree with that. I think if there were some quality D linemen who were worth drafting in the first round, I could see them going that route. But there aren't really, so that's the only reason I don't see them going that route.
Exactly. Here's my thing. If you're going to do that, which I think is a smart move for a franchise that can still get the life out of the two receivers in Jones, And then you got Matty Ice. Why would you pick Parsons at four? Why wouldn't you trade back? Get extra draft capital. Get Parsons where you're supposed to draft him, in the probably 15-20 range, and then have extra picks to rebuild that defense. That's what I would do. Like, I don't think Atlanta should be at the four pick. That's unless they are about to blow it up completely, which I don't think they're going to do. This is where you trade this pick, build some draft capital, get more picks, rebuild the defense, and try to get back to the Super Bowl. I mean, Eric, what do you think? Do you kind of see it both ways, what TP and Ryan are saying, or do you kind of see what Sirius is saying or what Atlanta should do with this pick?
No, I agree with Sirius here 100%. They have no problem on the offensive side of ball. So why would you get rid of a quarterback that is, when he's on his game and healthy, he's one of the, I'd put him in the top five in the league. So you got to look at defense here. I like your choice with Pitts, but that just adds to the offense. That's not going to solve their issue. They put up 30 points. They're losing 30-35. You know, they had no defense. They couldn't stop anybody last year. So, and that's the thing. The Atlanta Falcons, you know, if they had a defense, they're a playoff team year in and year out. So if I were the Falcons, I'd look for defense. I like the picks idea, trading that high pick. They get more picks, the defensive players. But, by no means, I should say, should they go and draft a quarterback? Absolutely not. That's not going to solve anything. They can do that in about 3 years. You know, Matty Ice is still 32 years old. He's still got gas left in the tank. So I don't think the Falcons are in a mode where they're going to draft a quarterback. I think Pitts is a more viable option than a quarterback or going out and getting someone on defense.
So let me ask you guys this question.
Go ahead.
No. So I was going to flip it on its ear. You know what I'm saying? So let's say the Atlanta Falcons, you know, are fielding phone calls. What team, honestly, would you guys realistically see, you know, moving up to four to draft somebody like a Pitts or a Justin Fields if he's still sitting there because the 49ers decided to do something stupid and select Matt Jones? You know what I'm saying? What team that, you know, in the teens would you see essentially moving up with Atlanta to make that happen?
Probably the Patriots, to be honest with you. I can see them moving up to get the quarterback that they desperately need. I can see Atlanta – listen, Atlanta just restructured Matt Ryan's deal. So they're not looking to move on from him, in my opinion. Now, they could restructure him to move him. It's stranger things have happened, let's be clear. But if they're restructuring his deal, you're trying to make cap space so you can rebuild and win now. Everybody does it. You know, the Steelers just did it with Big Ben, right? So it's they're trying to keep the guy that they have in tow and build around them. Now, do I think they should put the offensive weapons around him? No. It's on the defensive side. So, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if Pitt's wearing a Falcons jersey, holding up that number one Falcons jersey tomorrow night. But I think if the Falcons were smart, they would trade back, get the draft capital, and get the defensive guy that they desperately need. I got a caller in queue. I want to get him in. I want to bring him and get his opinion, and we can still circle this around. I got from the 469. I got Mike. Mike, what's going on? How you feeling this evening? We're on the caller's cookout. Mike, can you hear me? I don't know if you can hear me, but if you're there, give a shout. But I don't know if anybody else wants to bring in a little bit more on the Falcons, or we can go to the next.
I'll just hit this real quickly. I'd like to know why anybody thinks the Patriots would trade up that high, given the draft capital it would take. And the fact that I think they're more likely to wait and draft Kyle Trask later in that first round.
Because that's a Patriot move. And my honest opinion, the Patriots have routinely gave a big middle finger to logic and, you know, what they do via the draft. So, I mean, I was on the Patriots, too, making a move to move up that far because clearly, you know, I mean, I've seen them tall trash. I've seen them linked to all the quarterbacks, actually. And if the 49ers are dumb and they go with Matt Jones and Justin Fields starts to fall because let's say Atlanta stays pat at four. And they draft, you know, Pitts or they go out and pick up another receiver. They go get, you know, Waddle from Alabama or they go get the Heisman Trophy cat from Alabama or maybe Jamar Chase is still there or something like that. And you know, their quarterback starts to fall. You know what I'm saying? Now you got, you know, Justin Fields sitting there. And he's looking at the Cowboys at 10. Well, the Cowboys ain't going to get a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? They just signed Dak Prescott to that massive deal. So, you know, their guy starts to fall. You know what I'm saying? You got to move and do what you got to do to move up to get your guy. You know what I'm saying? So I think – I don't know if it was Villain who said it or, you know, E who said it. But, you know, the 49ers are really going to dictate how the rest of this draft plays out. In my honest opinion, because again, with everything that we just said, excuse me, I'm starting my car. With everything we just said, you know, the Atlanta Falcons don't need them. The Atlanta Falcons don't need a quarterback. So if the Atlanta Falcons are not going to go get a quarterback, you know what I'm saying, that means Justin Fields, you know, passes four. Who's sitting at five? I think Denver?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Five is Cincinnati. Cincinnati. And that's the team I want to talk about next because they got an interesting pick, too.
So Cincinnati's not going to get a quarterback. They just drafted Joe Burrow last year. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
You know what I'm saying? He's coming off an injury. And so they may be in play for somebody like a Kyle Pitts, which would annoy the hell out of me as a Philly fan, but I digress. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I mean, so Justin Fields goes past five. And so now you're the Patriots, like, you know what? I got all this draft capital. I got all these chips. Let me move some chips around and move up and make a call to some people and get my guys. So honestly, the Patriots are the most logical spot for me.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody else has an opinion on it. You know, I definitely have opinions on Cincinnati and what they should do. But I mean, listen, I'll bring it up. Cincinnati, listen, everybody says Cincinnati's going to get a weapon, either Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase, to go with Burrow because Chase and Burrow were college teammates at LSU, right? But to me, I don't understand how at number five in this year's draft, you pass on Swindell. I don't understand. Like, Burrow would have been a rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year, all that good stuff, if he was upright, if he didn't get killed because his offensive line stunk. You got one of the best linemen in this draft at five, and everybody and their mama is saying they're going to pass on him. I just don't understand that. I don't know why you wouldn't listen. Anthony Munoz made Boomer Esiason an MVP candidate, okay? I don't understand how you go away from that logic. I mean, TP, I don't know. What do you think Cincinnati should do with the number five pick? Should they get the weapons to replace A.J. Green, or should they protect their investment in Joe Burrow by getting the offensive lineman that they really need?
I think all signs point to them actually trying to protect Burrow because Burrow is an above-quality quarterback. But I definitely think there's a strong need at the receiver position, even though they've had setbacks with Green being at that receiver position. Green has not provided any type of lift, I want to say, in the past 2 to 3 seasons for Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. So I think at first they do have to try and get a quality lineman and then work their way to a quality receiver to try and fill the void, if not two receivers, if they could pick them up later in the draft. I really think a lot of the other pieces are covered. They do have some pieces at the receiver position right now that can make plays downfield. But to lose a guy that's above 6'3 and have that type of speed, his position on the field, he could be a decoy and defense still have to watch him. So with him being gone, they definitely have to provide that spark on the outside for the Cincinnati Bengals. But I definitely think they have to protect a guy like Burrow, who was a Heisman Trophy winner and was turning that team around. And even in this season, even though they lost a good amount of games, you could see the turnaround happening.
Yeah, I agree. When he played, they were a different team to when he played and then when he got hurt. So, Eric, Big E, I mean, what should Cincinnati do? Should they get the sexy weapons? Because, listen, at five, I feel they're going to have their pick of the litter outside maybe one weapon. Whoever, either Chase or Pitt is off the board, they're going to have their pick of a really good weapon in Chase, Smith, Waddle, Pitts, whatever you want to say. Should they go for the sexy pick, or should they go with the smart pick like Dallas did 4 out of their 5 years to protect Romo and Dak, draft that offensive lineman and build one of the best lines in the draft? What do you think?
Yeah, you can't go wrong with an offensive lineman. Usually offensive linemen in, the draft, especially high picks like that, they pay off. They're starting right away, and they're making an impact. And it doesn't matter what weapons you have. If you don't have an offensive line, it's going to be a bad day every snap. So they need to get Burrow protected and build on that and then go after getting some weapons. I know it'd be a nice story to have Chase come there. They played in college together, but if you don't have an offensive line, it doesn't matter what kind of offensive weapons you have, because you're getting teed off on. You don't have time to pass the ball. You can't run the ball. So they need to go and get an offensive lineman, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, serious, what do you think? What should the Bengals do with their pick? Because I think we're all kind of in that state of mind where you got to keep the quarterback upright. And if Burrow wasn't hurt because of the offensive lineman, it'd be a different story. But he got hurt because he had no line. He got killed. So, and he's not a big guy.
Right.
Let's be clear. He's not a big quarterback, right? So what should the Bengals do, serious?
Honestly, in my opinion, we're all in lockstep. You got to get that offensive line. You know, they went out and picked up the receiver last year, you know, Higgins from the University of Clemson. He and Burrow have
agreed with me.
So what?
He said you agree with him.
You know what? Listen here, sir. So anyways, they went and picked up the dude Higgins from Clemson last year. And honestly, them two were doing really, really well. They got some other cats that can come in that has came in and you know, and played well a season ago. This draft has so many receivers, so many eligibles that, you know, you can get later. You got to get that cat from Oregon. He is obviously one of the best offensive linemen that I've seen come out in a very long time. You know, people are comparing him to when Ogden came out and everything like that. So, again, it's gonna annoy me, you know, as a Steelers fan, you know, but it's the smart move, especially planning in that division when you got Baltimore defense, you know, blitzing all over the place. Pittsburgh's gonna do what they gonna do. Cleveland is gonna do what they gonna do. You know what I'm saying? They went out and picked up, you know, Jadeveon, and they got Myles Garrett, and they got a formidable bunch on that side of the football now. So you got to be able to protect your investment. So, in my opinion, the offensive lineman is the way to go.
Yeah, I agree. Like, there's no shame in saying, okay, let me get the lineman in this round, and then maybe by luck, Rondell Moore or Rashad Bateman or Tony from Florida is there, or even Terrence Marshall, on the other side in LSU. That's not a bad pickup. I mean, like, you're right. There's some good receivers in this draft where you can get value in the second round. Second round picks are like first round picks, really high currency right now. So that's just me. Ryan, I don't know how you feel about it, what Cincinnati should do with their pick, but I mean, I think everybody's kind of in that agreement that it's offensive line or bust.
I would love to be able to buck the trend, but no, definitely not going to. As much as I love Chase, because let's face it, Chase is a good receiver, you have to protect Joe. Joe got hurt big time last year, and you have got to be able to keep him upright. Because if you can keep him upright, that dude's got an arm. And even with Green, he's going to get some balls deep. But you got to be able to keep him upright. So you got to go line here.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, we'll see. I've seen stranger things happen. It's just don't get the Jerry Jones sexy pick in your head, and you got to make the right pick. You know what I mean? You got to do what's right for your team. I think Miami, they need weapons. I think they've got everything but weapons. So I think they're going to have the pick of the litter. If the quarterbacks go off early, like we all think, they can't go wrong with anybody they pick at that position. Either it's Waddle, Smith from Alabama. If Pitts falls that far, Chase, the only thing is, who is the guy that falls to them? I don't know if anybody else kind of agrees with me. And maybe Detroit, too. I think Detroit goes –
Case could be made that all of them fall to him. That's the funny thing. I said case could be made that they all fall to him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I mean, sitting there at five, you know, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is sitting right there. You know, the cat from Alabama, either receiver from Alabama, keep in mind, two of their quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying? So for the same type of you know, rapport and the same type of chemistry that we were talking about a second ago with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and his old buddy from LSU, you know, Tua Tagovailoa got the same type of, you know, juice with either one of his receivers that falls to him there in Miami. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, I mean, TP, do you think Miami and Detroit go with the weapons that kind of might, quote-unquote, to Sirius's point, fall to them? And if that's the case, if you had to pick out of the four, who's the guy that you would pick first? Who's the weapon that you would want the most on either your team or in a team in general? And if you're on mute, you're on mute.
Pose the question, if I had a pick on my team or someone else's team?
Well, so if you had to pick on your Lions team, right, and you had the four weapons, you had Pitts, you had Waddle, you had Smith, or you had Chase, which one would you want? If you were just on any other team, if you were building a team, it could be any team, and you had the pick of the four, who would you want? So who's the fit on your Lions, and then who's out of the four is the guy that you want the most?
The Lions are Chase and Waddle. I'd rather have Smith because Smith he doesn't have the injuries that Waddle has right now. Waddle just got injured twice in one season. That's a question mark, especially playing at a professional football level where he's not going to be in the middle of the SEC with Alabama. So I'd rather Smith. Any other team out there, I'd rather go after Pitts because Pitts is one of those Aaron Hernandez hybrid receivers that you can flex out and have him be a receiver. So I'd rather, for my own personal situation, with them losing not only Galladay to the Giants, but also losing Marvin Jones as well to, I think it's the Rams. No, I think he either went to the Rams or Jacksonville. I'm not sure where he went, but both of the receivers are gone. So the Lions do have a strong need on at least at the wide receiver position. They have to do something immediately. I'm not content with Perriman being the number two option. We'll see how that ends. They didn't even play Geronimo last year while he basically sat and watched, and they picked him up from Green Bay, and he's supposed to be a big piece. So, but I definitely go after Pitts because Pitts is the one that everybody's kind of gawking at, even though I don't like a Gator, any Gator possible, but this guy's a can't-miss talent. And it's the same way that Tebow was when he came out, but he didn't do anything in the league, or the same thing Aaron Hernandez did while he came out and went straight to a Super Bowl while he was in New England. But these are can't-miss players. They can't watch this go by them.
Yeah, I mean, you get Pitts, and you have a top-five tight end already. Like, I can argue that right behind the big two, and then any other couple tight ends that you want to throw out there, Andrews in Baltimore, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, he's that guy that you just haven't seen at that position. But I agree with you. Lions definitely need receiver. You're right. Jones went to Jacksonville to probably team up with the number one pick, Trevor Lawrence. So, yeah, receiver is where they got to go. But a lot of people have them trading out of that pick. I don't know. I think they should stay there, get the weapon, give the new quarterback a chance to succeed with some weapons until they already have a really good tight end that they drafted. So, to your point, I think receiver is where they got to go. Eric, I mean, who out of those four, which one is the guy to you that you would say, I have to have that guy on my team out of Waddle, Smith, Chase?
I would definitely go with Pitts just for the reasons we've all been talking about. The guy's a hybrid. His physicality, this guy can create all kinds of problems for defenses, and he would immediately fit in with the Detroit Lions. Me and Timeless talked before you know, all this went down with them losing Galladay and Marvin Jones and bringing in Goff. It's like, hey, this could be a real good thing here in Detroit. And I don't understand why. I mean, I can understand the Galladay. You know, he has an injury history. But, okay, you let Galladay go. Why are you letting Marvin Jones go? They should have did everything they could to keep him on the team. And now they don't really have any weapons, so they're in dire need. You know, Chase would be a good pickup too, but they're going to have to go with one of those two guys, and then, you know, maybe even draft another receiver in the second round, so because they desperately need help.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know how they just let him go like that. How you let Marvin Jones go? I mean, that's a fifth round pick.
by the Bengals, and you know, look at where he's been. Look at how far he's come. Like, mind boggling. But yeah, Lions got to replace him. And you know what? I agree, TP. I like Smith, but I wouldn't gawk at Chase. I wouldn't say that's a. I like Chase. If he goes to Detroit, that's a steal for me because he's the best. I think he's the best receiver in the draft. And I have him going higher than 7, if that's
one,
possible.
One has a national championship and won the MVP in that game. Like, this is what you need. You need that winning breed of caliber. Like, I'm not chasing Chase to come here just because he's the best option, period. I want to see somebody that has a point to prove. But everybody's saying he's probably one of the smaller receivers that they won't go after. This guy's a home run hitter at that. If he gets to the corner, you already see he could get 10 yards easy. Like, that's what I want. Get a difference maker. The last time they had this difference maker was Calvin Johnson, but he's a big target. So you're chasing a tight end with brutal speed. You know what I'm saying? Like, get somebody that's a tweener that you could put in the midst of the receiving core that you got right now. He's hidden. Wow, this could spread this whole thing out because the one thing that helps Goff is play action. So if he's running the play action, you get a receiver like Swift. I mean, a running back like Swift that could draw attention to him. They bite. This opens the game back up for Goff where he was pitch and catch, moving the chains, and getting to a postseason bid. Now, I would love to see them get to a postseason bid, but you got a guy that's a quality 4-3 running right now on the outside. This helps. And he could be the third option. He don't have to come in and be the number one right now. So we'll see. I mean, a lot of people are high on Waddle. A lot of people see Chase coming there. You're asking me? I think Devontae is the guy.
Yeah, we'll see. I think it's a good fit. I can see on play action him running that drag route across the field and catching that ball in the middle field and then off to the races. So they can't go wrong. But I don't think they should trade out of the pick. I think they have to hold on to it unless they get blown away with somebody really desperate to move up to get the quarterback of the future, like the Patriots or somebody. I just really hope they stay in that number 7 spot and draft the receiver that they desperately need to replace, to your point, TP. But, you know, we're a little more than halfway through. I don't know if anybody else wants to throw any other draft talk on the board. We can definitely chop it up.
Well,
we can go running back.
So
we can go whatever you want.
Here's the funny thing, guys. So we're talking about Detroit right now, and, you know, who they will get, Devontae Smith or whatever. So as we were talking, I'm looking at this mock draft, and Jamar Chase is, according to this mock draft I'm looking at, Jamar Chase is going 5 to Cincinnati. The Detroit Lions are grabbing the offensive tackle from Oregon, the big guy who was just talking about that should go to Detroit. The guy that should go to Cincinnati at 5. So it's very, very possible. Now, again, this is all mock, you know, guessing or whatever the case may be. But the TP, as a Lions fan, what you guys lost this offseason with Galladay and Jones and getting, you know, the quarterback, you know, Goff, whatever the case may be, would you be cool with them going the non-sexy pick and going – offensive lineman or Caleb Farley to, you know, the cornerback from Virginia Tech? Here's the funny thing. The same mock has J.C. Horn being the second cornerback off the board to Dallas at 10 and Surtain going 12 to the Eagles. So it's comical. You know what I'm saying? We're sitting here talking about it, but TP, how would you feel about them going to offensive lineman there?
You might be on mute again.
This man, stay on mute.
TP, you there? I don't even know if he's there. He
on mute unless he's yelling at me.
I don't know. He might be on mute. I don't know. I think it's a good point. I think it's not a bad move to get the lineman from. I love that kid. I think he's the best line I've seen in a couple of years. I think, you know, it's kind of weird because, like, if you draft a lineman that high, you can hit a home run or you can hit, like, the Giants with Ereck Flowers, who just got traded from Washington, I think, right? Or to the Dolphins, one of the two. Either way he went, who cares? He's been drafting all over the place, right?
Yeah,
Yeah, exactly. So he's all over the place. Like, yeah, you know, so it could go really well or it can go really bad. So I don't know. I think this kid is legit, though. I think Sewell is legit. I think he can help right away protect Goff and get that offensive going. But I think weapons are the sexy pick. I think, you know, they should probably consider it. But if the Eagles are drafting linemen or cornerbacks and not drafting one of these receivers that fall to them at the 12th pick, everybody needs to get fired because they ain't got no receivers. They ain't had receivers there since P.L. I'm sorry. So, I'll be fair. Alshon Jeffrey, I'll be fair. Let's be fair. But still, they need weapons. And if you're putting your chips on Jalen Hurts, you got to get him somebody to throw to. I don't think what's his name? Reginor? I don't know if he's enough. So they need weapons in the worst way.
For sure.
Yeah, so, you know, we got a little over 30 minutes left. Let's get some NBA talk going. Definitely, I got a call in queue. I'm patiently waiting. I'm going to bring them in a minute. But I definitely wanted to switch gears to some NBA talk. You know, we got the draft tomorrow. We'll have a lot of fun with that tomorrow and breaking down the picks and all that good stuff, see what everybody does. But definitely in the NBA, you got the stretch run coming. Teams jockeying for position, my Knicks. A lot of teams that we look up, the Nets are top dogs in the East. LeBron, it looks like he's going to be back soon. But speaking of LeBron, I'm going to start there first. Some news came out, I think it was yesterday or today, with the legend himself, Dr. J, Julius Irving, making his, I guess you can call it top 10 players or two starting teams, like I guess a first team and a second team, all NBA all time players. Some interesting names that he put in the list. One of them wasn't LeBron James. I don't know. It was. I guess people are saying it's shade. You know, he had on his first team Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell, and Elgin Baylor. And then his second unit, I guess you can call it, was Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Karl Malone, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So you can see, like, he kind of split them into eras. Like, okay, these are the guys that came before me, and these are the guys that got either played with or came after me. But he didn't have anybody from today. So a little bit of shade. I'll start with you, Sirius. I don't know if you heard about this. I'm going to start with you, and then I'm going to bring caller in queue and get their opinion on Dr. J. And I guess you can call it shade to LeBron. I guess the younger people call it shade. It's his opinion. But what do you think about the list that Dr. J came out with?
You know, honestly, we get into these conversations all the time here mm-hmm. on Sports City and on social media. And my honest opinion, I mean, it's a preference thing. Like, we want to make a mountain out of a molehill, so to speak. And, you know, we can sit here and Dr. J can give his five, and, you know, Charles Barkley can give his five, and, you know, I can give my five, you can give your five. And, you know, it's very unlikely that we all have the same five and, you know, the same order and, you know, to each of her own. Like, my biggest thing was, you know, I'm a guard, so I want my guard to do different things. But if you want your guard to do, you know, something else, you know, my guard may not be on your list, you know, and vice versa. So I don't really think nothing of it, you know. LeBron James kind of laughed it off or whatever case may be. But at the end of the day, you know, he was on, you know, the network or whatnot, and he said what he said, and I respect his opinion. I just don't necessarily have to agree with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he kind of came out and said he's the guy that led the charge in terms of super teams. So what? I you know, like, that's the name of the game now. What are we talking about here? Like, you can't hold that against him and not put him on an all-time team. Like, yeah, okay, maybe because his career's not over yet. But I don't know. I'm going to bring call-ins from the 469. Alasia, I think her name is.
how you doing tonight? We're talking a little NBA. How you feeling this evening?
Okay,
maybe it's – how you doing? How you doing? I thought it was me. I thought I hit the wrong button. I got you in. How you feeling this evening?
I'm doing pretty good, minus these Lakers stacking it up, but I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Ooh.
What? Welcome to the show, Ooh. Laker Nation.
Ooh, you're Laker right. The Laker Nation is getting slapped around. Slapped.
Yeah, we are, but we'll be back in the playoffs. Slap. Don't you worry.
Slap. Welcome back, TP.
Slap.
So speaking of Laker Nation, so I'll kick it over to you since I just brought you in. And Eric, I'll let you talk because I know you got a lot to say, so we'll get to it. But Dr. J, the young kids call it shade, that he's throwing shade on LeBron. God forbid, nobody gives LeBron his roses. But Dr. J has his opinion. He has his all-time team, and then he has his second team. He didn't have LeBron on either team. I mean, what is your opinion? To Sirius's point, it's just a debate to having a debate, but it's news. It came out. What do you think about it?
I think that he got glaucoma. He probably haven't been seeing in a while. You know, he probably haven't been expecting these days. But, I think that's a good thing to do because, like, you know how to do school. We always pick, you know, guys from our generation and stuff like that. We never really just talk to the old heads and see what their top fives is and stuff. So I'm glad he did that so we can see, like, sometimes old heads be biased.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think people don't give enough credit to how good Jerry West was back in his day. You know what I mean? And let's be fair. Dr. J didn't put himself on the list. He didn't say, I'm in the top five all time, right? He didn't have himself on any list. He gave his flowers to the Big O. He gave flowers to Elgin Baylor. Now, for me, here's my problem with the list. You can't have Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell on the same team. All right, one's a center and one's a center. You got to pick one, okay? That's my problem. So, I mean, is it your starting five? Is it your top five players? Is it your top five from that era? Like, what are we doing here? What is the criteria for this list? So that's my problem. And then, like, Karl Malone, yes, he's a two-time MVP. He's got one of the greatest scorers. I think he's number two all time, but, like, or three, I think, whatever. But, Tim Duncan's a better power forward than Karl Malone was. I'm sorry, I'll say that. It's his opinion, though. You know what I'm saying? Eric, we talked about it earlier. I'll come to you. It's Dr. J's opinion, so, you know, he's entitled to it, but, I mean, we're also entitled to disagree or agree with it. What did you think about his list that he kind of put together?
Yeah, kind of what we touched on. I think he was more biased to the his era of basketball. So, and like you said, it's his opinion. I like his list, but like you said, Karl Malone, he has the accolades, but if you look at, you know, players that, I mean, Tim Duncan, in my opinion, is one of the greatest players of all time, let alone power forward center. This guy, you know, made his whole team better. Great shooter for a big man, really good shooter for a big man, and he could facilitate. So I like Tim Duncan a little bit better. It is what it is. It's his opinion. I definitely, you know, the top 10, it evolves. You know, you got different eras in basketball. All those players he mentioned are no doubt, you know, some of the greatest players ever to grace the hardwood. So that's not debatable, but it's kind of hard for me not to have Kobe Bryant and LeBron James on that list. You know, that they're definitely on my list. So, and a few of those players that he had mentioned would, you know, be in my list too. But at the end of the day, it's his opinion. Great basketball player, knows the game, and he was very humble leaving himself off there when, like you touched on. I mean, this guy, people don't realize how great of a basketball player Dr. J was. You know, he was in the ABA at first, and I think that's, you know, kind of why people don't realize it. because, you know, the ABA kind of gets put on the back burner. So, but, yeah,
right.
It's his opinion. So, he's entitled to it. It's, like I said, it's a worthy list, you know, no doubt. There's just, if you look at all the eras, you got to have players from every era on there, you know. So that's just how my list would go.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you don't have Bird and Magic without Dr. J. That guy carried the NBA when it was, you know, it would have been dead and buried because it was popular in the 60s and in late 70s, they almost went into the crapper. You're talking about preempting,
absolutely,
you know, finals games. Finals games were preempted before, you know, Magic and Bird did. They saved the league, but Dr. J held it on his shoulders. And people, you know, I think he doesn't get enough credit for being a top 10 player. You know, there's guys that are probably push him down because there's more coming. Durant, Curry, Kobe, all those guys came after him and, you know, pushed him down. But the guy needs to get his flowers. But, I mean, TP, I mean, what do you think about his list, TP? Like, what do you think? You know, his rationale, how he explained it, I didn't like it. If he would have just said, you know, I'm not going to pick anybody from today's game because they're still playing, I would have accepted that. But to say it was because of a super team model, I'm not buying that. What did you think about Dr. J's list and how he explained it?
Shout out to the late, great Earl Simmons. He said,
yes.
Whack, stupid. Broke kid in yours, and everybody knows your old man say you stupid. You be like, so?
I love my baby mama. I never let her go.
I love my baby.
Word, that's how I'm like, come on, man. Like, and I get Jerry West is the logo, but if we match resume for resume, or stats up for stats up, Jerry West or Michael Jordan, you do the math. Like, I'm not buying that, man. Like you could tell people got hidden agendas or feel a certain way. I really want to, like, have, like, somebody have a sit-down with Dr. J and how he feels about Michael Jordan and his game and watch his facial expressions. Not on the flowers that he bring him, but see if it's like a thorn in his side, like if it bothers him or he's sitting on a tack or something. Because I could tell that's literally what Dr. J is on. And you mean to tell me that you're going to put, let's just say, Wilt Chamberlain, or depending on how he put the power forward or the center at that position, where I think Bill Russell would have to be the stamp if I'm looking at Wilt, even though Wilt has some gaudy numbers, like, and I think, like, statistically, Wilt would be way better than Bill Russell, but if we're looking at championship aspirations and you put Bill Russell there, but if I'm looking at the center position, I don't think none of them outstat captain. Like, I really put Kareem there. Kareem still leads the league in scoring till this day. Like, LeBron is going to have to put up another year or two more to catch Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, stop it. And he has 6 championships more than Wilt, so how is Wilt ahead of him? Like, the only thing I'm looking at is Bill Russell having more championships when they were playing up against people that had normal jobs and stuff like that. Like, no. Like, so, and then Tim Duncan. Like, where is Tim Duncan at? Like people really you mean tell me you're going to discredit what Tim Duncan brought to the game? He's won a championship in 3 different decades. You tell me if somebody has been at an NBA history. No, you'll come up short. So like, I don't want to hear it. Like, Dr. J is sounding like he's bitter, and I don't like it not one bit, and I don't even feel good talking about Dr. J like that because Dr. J was my father's favorite player. Like, I used to be like, Mike. Mm-hmm. He'd be like, no, Dr. J was madder than Mike. And I'm like, Dad, what's wrong with you? But, like, that was his guy growing up. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't like the way Dr. J playing. Like, he's not playing fair at all. And people respect him because of his name and what he brought to the game. But he's highly mistaken. And that's the best way that I can say it. If we weren't on air, I'd be slaughtering him right now.
But you said the right words there, TP. I have to bring it back out, bring it back to the top, and I'm going to bring a caller in. That's his guy, right? That's his era. So everybody from today is going to say LeBron's the greatest of all time. They never saw Jordan play. They didn't see Kareem play. They didn't see Magic and Bird. They didn't see Dr. J. They didn't see, you know, so everybody has their era, their guy. We grew up with Jordan, so that's my guy, right? And then other guys before him, when Jordan was coming up, they said, no, Kareem's the greatest. He's the all-time scorer. You don't know what you're talking about. These young kids got Jordan. You know, we all went through it, right, TP? So I can understand that, but
yeah, but these kids are wearing Jordans today. They don't wear those Jordans just because they're just a comfortable suit. They go and watch YouTube. They seen the tongue out and everything. They seen Kobe. Listen, they seen Kobe. They seen emulations of what Kobe did do and who he emulated his whole game after. They seen Mike. Believe me, they seen
right.
Mike. They don't sit there and just be like, oh, it's 2021. They ain't seen no Mike. Believe me, they see some Kobe highlights. That's Michael Jordan. Every last bit of this shimmy shake turnaround fadeaway.
You know what, though, brother?
Hey,
you know what, brother? It highlights and then watching him. We watched Jordan.
Oh,
we watched him.
I get it. No,
like,
no,
it's
I get it. I get you there, but you know,
yes.
They're educated on this type of stuff. They ain't just sitting there in the clouds and not knowing about that stuff. Believe me, they know. They know.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to throw out about Dr. J, too, maybe why he's bitter. You know, Dr. J is, you know, essentially the godfather of, you know, the showboat dunking. You know what I mean? He was the one to put on the show and do all that stuff. Like you said, he revived the league with the, I mean, he was entertaining, you know, doing the windmills and stuff like that. And Jordan comes around and kind of takes that hype. So I think that's why maybe he's a little, you know, bit bitter with Jordan because, you know, he feels some type of way, you know, threatened by, you know, the way Jordan was. So that's my take.
I don't know, man. I really don't see Dr. J as that bitter, like, guy jealous of. He got his flowers. He had the send-off. He had the rocking chair, all that stuff. I don't know if he's as bitter. Like, I really don't see
what
that.
Would it be,
like,
Barry, what would it be? Honest, Barry, what would it be? What would it be if it's not bitterness? What is it then?
I don't know. I really don't want to say, because like I could say Isaiah is bitter.
How about envious?
I could say Isaiah is bitter because he didn't get the flowers, and Jordan and Pippen really went out of their way to kind of blackball him, like for the Olympics and all that stuff. I don't see that with. I could say envious, maybe. I don't know. Bitter though, I don't. You know what I mean? Like I can't go that far. I don't know. I don't know. I think he really was really kind of elevating the guys that came before.
I need you to talk to me like
no,
you. I need you to talk to me like you normally
I'm talking.
Talk.
Listen, I really think he was elevating the guys ahead of him that played before him, that built the game that he added on, and then the guys that played in his era that he might have played with. And I think that was it. I think everybody else wants to read into it more. I just don't see it. I really don't. I like to think Dr. J is a better guy than that, especially with the tragedy that happened in his family, his life during his career, his son dying and all that. I don't think of him as that bitter kind of guy. I just don't. I really don't. So,
Barry,
but I'm going to bring a caller.
What did he see in resume for resume that put Jerry West ahead of Michael Jordan?
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Like that was the problem I had. How is Jordan not number one? Only other than the fact that you put the guys ahead of you in your era that played ahead of you on the one team, and because there's no mix and match. Magic's not one on the first team, and then Baylor's on the, like, you know what I mean? Like, there was no mix
and
match.
Who was his point guard? Who was his point guard? A small forward.
I don't even know if you could say it was a point guard, but the big O, Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, then you had Elgin Baylor. I guess Baylor, kids don't give him, they don't know anything about Elgin Baylor. Dr. J.
Unless he's going to catch me out. She's going to catch me slipping. Elgin Baylor or LeBron James. Let's be real here.
Aliza, what do you got?
We're going to stop this right now. Okay. Wait, I'm talking to you. No. She's going to catch me because you're going to start laughing because I'm talking about this. But I'm asking you, Barry.
Okay.
Elgin Baylor or LeBron James? Let's stop all this stuff right now.
When LeBron James's career is over, he's going to be clearly he's ahead of Elgin
even right
Baylor.
Now,
right?
Stop I'm going to knock on wood right now. Let's just say LeBron walked on the court and said, you know what, this ankle stuff is bothering me. I'm done. Elgin Baylor or LeBron James? Who are
LeBron
you going
James?
With right now?
LeBron James.
Okay.
But people need to understand, and I got to bring this caller, there is no Dr. J, there is no Michael Jordan without Elgin Baylor. Nobody was skywalking. He's the first skywalker before you had Dr. J flying through the air and Michael Jordan just soaring like a bird. Like, Elgin Baylor
exactly.
was an above-the-rim player that nobody knows about unless you do your homework. I mean, let's be clear, okay? Like, I got to bring the call. Dave Heidi calling from the 917. I said his whole government, but Dave, from the 917. What's up, brother? How you feeling?
What's up, fellas? Good evening. I love listening to you guys. I just, you know, this is a great debate that I couldn't help but get attracted to, as we all were when we saw it. I think I saw it on Instagram. And you guys are all making great points. I love, Barry, the point you made about Russell, and, you know, like, and it's like, wait, Russell's a power forward? But, you know, and everyone's saying the same thing about Jerry West. I don't really understand that, because it's like, I guess I'm not, I mean, I'm definitely not old enough to really understand how good he is, but I can't understand that anyway, that A, that he'd be above Michael Jordan, that B, that he'd be above Kobe Bryant, and that C, that he'd be above Steph Curry, if you ask me, right? And then,
mm-hmm.
but I am a current, you know, NBA, you know, watcher. I'm, you know, I'm only 40 years old, but at the same time, the thing that really screwed me up, I think, is looking at it, is, I mean, I know I'm a Knicks fan, I know I hate the Celtics, but Larry Bird, I mean, you scrub, like, second team or not, like, you're talking about, everyone talks about LeBron James as one of the greatest players that ever played the game, if not the greatest, and no one says that about Larry Bird, no one, you know what I mean? And like, I mean, people say he's a great player, people say he's amazing, but nobody says he's one of the GOATs, you know what I mean? And you mean to tell me that he bumped LeBron off the second team? That's just crazy talk. Like, I understand the statement that he made about, well, LeBron started the super teams. To me, that's him trying to defend his decision. But to me,
yeah,
that was the one decision in his two teams that I was like, you got, like the other caller said, like, you got to have glaucoma or something. Because, I mean, what are you talking about?
I think we might have to use that, Lisa. We gotta bring that in. I mean, I don't know if anybody else has an opinion. I'll bring it back to you, Lisa, if you have another opinion. But Larry Bird is one of the greatest small forwards to ever play the game. But not, he ain't gonna go down greater than LeBron. And like, Larry Bird is that dude. Three straight MVPs is three straight MVPs. Like, that's 3 years in a row where you are that dude. And you ain't take no time off. And if the back injury didn't rob him of more years, he might have gone down as one of the greats. Like, you know, clearly one of the greats. But, you know, to finish his career in top 10 ain't that bad either. But, I mean, anybody else got, like, any opinions on the list? Alicia, I can come to you. Sirius, anybody?
I just need them to get away from people like that. You know, going to do something because they want to see a reaction. I think Dr. J did that to see how people are going to react to his list. And for him to leave himself out, I don't think that was a humble situation. I just know that he had people that were equal to him that he'd rather put there to be like, well, I didn't put myself there. I put somebody else
yeah.
there. Like, Dr. J is one of those names there. Listen, this is all, like, set up by him. I think this is all done by design. There's a ton of names at every position that you could put there. Dr. J did some funny stuff, and I can't forgive him for this list. I can't. As strong as a good of a player as Oscar Robertson was, Oscar Robertson or Magic?
Yeah, no, hands down,
Magic.
If we look on this list, gentlemen, I think yeah. all of us here, I mean, I know for sure Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar are definitely on my list. You can maybe, you know, Bill Russell, you can't forget what he did. But after those four, I don't think any of these other players are on our list of top 10 all time. And Dr. J certainly isn't.
You could tell Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson had some parties, and Dr. J was not invited. You could tell exactly what happened.
Again, it's another thing like the Jerry West thing with me. Like, I don't know as much about Elgin outside of what I've researched in terms of what's in history. But, in, you know, because I was so – I feel like – was he even playing in the 80s when I was – like, I don't even know that.
No. He was retired in the 70s.
In the 70s, right? Exactly. So I wasn't even a baby mm-hmm. when he retired. And but at the same time, I feel like that – because I agree with Timeless, like who in the world picks him over LeBron? I think the only – to me, as a basketball guy, like, that was him. That was Dr. J saying, you know, remembering this guy gave me some crazy games. This guy really was some competitor and really something else on the floor. It's like, yeah, and that might be true. But when you're talking about an overall scope of the whole length of the NBA, you know, it's not just about who gave you the best run when you were out there, dude. You know what I mean?
All right. No, I mean, listen, Elgin Baylor, rest in peace. He passed away, you know, not even, I think, a month ago, you know, 86. So definitely got to give him his flowers. But, you know, I didn't watch him play. I wasn't born. I wasn't even at a conception at that point. But I know he was that dude. But, I mean, I think the big point is, how is Karl Malone on this list? How is he? Karl Malone is not on anybody's top 10. Not even close. Like, I have Chamberlain and Russell and Kareem in mine. And, like, you know, we all said Kobe and Tim Duncan and those. Yeah, okay, Karl Malone. Like, Karl Malone isn't even the best at his position, in my opinion. Like, I would have Tim Duncan. And, you know, there's better power forwards than him. Like, maybe Barkley, maybe. But, like, Tim Duncan, to me, is the best power forward ever. I think Kevin McHale was a better power. James Worthy might be even a better power forward. Like, I don't know. I just, Karl Malone, he has the stats. He never got the chip. I mean, which I want to get to real quick. But, I mean, like, how is he in your top 10? How is he on, how did he make this list? I don't get it.
I take the big fundamental Karl any day.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, who did you say? You take who over Karl?
I take the big fundamental over Carl.
Oh, yeah. See, that's why I roll with this guy, even though we argue every fucking day. But excuse me, I apologize. but look, there's no way that I'm putting Carl Malone ahead of Tim Duncan. Are you serious? Like, what? Let's do this. And they both did similar things. Like, Carl Malone was able to pick Utah up out of the dirt out there in Utah, and you got the same situation with Tim lifting San Antonio out of the dirt out around the Alamo. But you got one that was able to help get them to be championship relevant, and the other got to two finals and fell short. You know what I'm saying? Like, wait, Tim Duncan's been to the finals, what, six times and lost once. Like that's a heck of a percentage compared to somebody that's batting 0%.
Mm-hmm. 0%. That means you ain't got a hit, fool. Take notes. I mean, Tim Duncan is that dude, man. Like, I can't. We ain't got a lot of time. But since we're talking about chips, I mean, Stephen A. came out with a list. I definitely want to get your guys' opinion. He had
I
his top five players.
Too. I'm glad you were there.
Yeah, absolutely. He had the top five players that didn't win a chip. He had AI, Allen Iverson, one of my favorite NBA players. He had Charles Barkley, I think he had on there. He had Carmelo Anthony. He had Dan Marino. And who was the other guy? He had
Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds, that's right. I had to take it. We didn't even talk much baseball on the call because I think he's serious, my brother. I mean, I'll bring it to you, Dave, since you're new on here. I mean, do you have a problem with this list? And is there any honorable mentions for you that didn't make this list that you wanted to mention?
No, I thought it was a dope list. I mean, as far as the honorable mentions, I didn't really even think about that. I'm sure we can come up with some stuff. But, you know, the funny thing with me, it's not just because I love him so much as an announcer. And I know this might sound crazy because I love AI too, and Timeless is going to kill me because he's a Georgetown guy. But I like Barkley, man. To me, Barkley's my number one. You know what I mean? Barkley's my number one, you know, and I feel like Iverson's my number two. I don't even put Bonds in there because, like, Bonds is one of the best players. Bonds is one of the best players ever to do it, I guess. But it's like, it's one of those weird things, man. It's like one of those kind of funny things that it's like it's tough. I mean, I guess people say, oh, but everybody in baseball did that in his era. And it's like, yeah, I guess. And Derek Jeter didn't, but you know, but whatever it is, I mean, I think he should be on the list. I'm not saying he shouldn't even be on the top five, but I don't think he should be above Charles
Bonds or AI. Which one? Bonds or AI should be on the top five?
Bonds.
Bonds.
Oh no, Bonds. AI I think should be second. I think Barkley
Wait.
Should be first. I think Bonds should maybe Barry, if he's on the list, should maybe be on the fifth spot.
Barry Bonds. So who are you knocking off? If this is crazy.
This guy he's arguably the greatest player in history.
The best player. Like Derek Jeter or Barry Bonds. Derek Jeter or Barry Bonds. I'm gonna do that to you right now. Derek Jeter or Barry Bonds?
Yeah, but that's not.
Answer me. Don't do this because we don't got that much time. We got 5 minutes left. Derek Jeter or Barry Bonds?
But I guess Barry Bonds. We're talking about who won championship. That's not the
right.
Yeah, but you got to take the stats into account, not just the chips, right? You can't. I love Jeter. Got to be fair. Barry Bonds is one of the top five baseball players.
Yo, listen, I'm glad that we got Yankee on Yankee crime. Live in Sports City. This is beautiful. I love it.
Here.
I love every last bit of this. This is beautiful.
I'll never assault
you, Jesus.
DH. Come on now.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's all I need. Thank you, Jesus.
No, I agree. Barry Bonds is better than Jeter. Well, you know, I'm just talking about when we're comparing people who haven't won championships.
I mean, you didn't bring up Kirby Puckett. Come on, give me a break here.
We got jewelry. I ain't worried about it.
That's what kills me. That's what kills me. He got two chips.
Word up.
But what other? I mean, anybody on that list, TP, that you would have moved in and maybe not even taken out, but just moved into that top five? You think is a consideration?
Give me the five again. If AI is who else? Carl Malone.
Yeah.
Who else?
AI. It was no, not Carl Malone. Right, so AI, Barry Bonds, Charles Barkley, Carmelo Anthony, and Dan Marino.
Mm-hmm. Carmelo, get Carmelo out of here. Bye.
Yeah, forget
okay.
about it. I'm with you. I'm a Knicks fan.
He the one that sat up there and put that no trade clause on him and couldn't do nothing in New York and then left New York and fell apart. Like, stop. Get Carmelo
Agreed.
Out of here. And the crazy part
Agreed.
Was, I got the opportunity to join LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul, and Bosh.
Yes.
Everybody could have went down to Miami. I'm going to chill in New York and stay here with Stat and Stat punching holes in freaking fire extinguisher boxes. Like, stop. That's what y'all get. You listen, get Carmelo out of here. Bye. Just
he
go,
wanted
go
to count his money. He could have taken less money to go to Miami
guess what?
He wanted that money.
He's chasing championships in Portland, and he know doggone well ain't no jewelry coming to Oregon no time soon. No time soon.
Exactly.
Any football players that you guys would put on this list with Dan Marino?
Barry
Jim
Sanders.
Kelly. Jim
hands
Kelly.
Down.
Probably Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders,
yeah.
gentlemen.
Barry Sanders.
Yeah,
yeah absolutely.
He did that on
Barry
purpose.
Sanders.
He did that on purpose.
Reggie White.
He did it on purpose. He did it on purpose.
No, Reggie White got a check.
Reggie White got a championship.
So who we say? Jim Kelly, Barry Sanders, right? And then what was another name? I think somebody threw out. I don't even. Was there another name? No.
Randy Moss.
18-1.
Okay. I would even put
okay,
like
so, hold
Warren
on,
Moon.
You
I think
can't
Warren
have,
Moon is a
you
guy,
can't
right?
Have both
no?
Randy Moss. You can't have both Randy Moss and T.O. on the list. One got to go. Pick one.
Okay.
Yeah, not T.O.
Randy Moss.
Then T.O.'s got to go because Randy.
Yeah, Randy
T.O.'s
Moss.
Got
yeah.
Right. I mean, any baseball players? I mean, I know there's not a lot of baseball guys out there. Eric D.H., I don't
Griffey,
know if you got
man.
Any baseball players.
Ozzie.
Griffey. No,
Ozzie got one.
Ken Griffey. Ken Griffey's the guy for me.
That's a good one, man.
Yeah.
That's better.
Absolutely.
He's better than Bonds, if you ask me.
Oh, no way.
Cut his mic off. Barry, I know he's in the middle of Brooklyn. Cut his mic off right now.
That's
I'm not having it.
That's
not
the steroids.
The
DH will not
Here's
let him go.
The pitchers were terrified of Barry Bonds. I mean, it was like the Hack-a-Shack scenario with Bonds.
Barry,
they would walk him instead of pitching.
Barry, I've never seen this in my life. They walked Barry Bonds with bases loaded. They gave up a run with
exactly.
bases loaded. You tell me how bad that is. That's bad.
Yeah.
That's absolute terror.
That's terror.
Yeah.
I mean, this
they
is
have to give
a,
they have to give
a fun
up a 1-4. You're right.
Yeah.
You can
and
throw
it's
one run.
Everybody knows how I feel. Barry Bonds, just before he went to the Giants, was pretty much a borderline Hall of Famer in Pittsburgh. And then he had a couple MVP years in San Francisco before the steroids kind of took hold. But even if you split his career in half, he's an MVP. He's a Hall of Famer. Like, you know what I mean? Like
he's a Hall of Famer, even if you take away
the steroids.
Yeah, he won
MVP in Pittsburgh before he even got to the Giants.
Exactly. So, you know, it's an interesting list. It's a fun list. A lot of guys that, you know, we wish had gotten championships that didn't get that championship. But, yeah, you know, listen, everybody, great show. There's so many people. It's so much to cook. I mean, I think, TP, did you want to extend the show? Did you want to keep going?
I don't know how much you got in the tank. I mean, we could do either or. It don't matter. But if we're going to continue to go, you have to shut Heidi's mic off right now. If he says anything else like that, we're stopping. Everything must stop right now. I've had enough. He's already talked about Allen Iverson. He's already getting out of line. I can't have this. And then they're 18-1. You think I didn't hear him say that in the background? Like, this dude think he's so sick. Listen, you know, I've dealt with this dude for 30 years or better in my life. Like, you got to
stop. Listen, but
all right, I'm done. I'll leave him alone.
I like the Barry Sanders pick. I think that is, you know, I think Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, those two, Barry Sanders are guys that, you know, and Randy Moss, in football at least, guys that we had wished that got a chip that she could easily have gone into that top five. I would definitely have put Barry Sanders in that top five and taken maybe Melo
LT,
out.
LT never got a championship either.
Yes, you're right. And he doesn't get enough credit. He's the other LT. The fake LT.
I have to.
We have to call him LaDainian Thomas, and we don't call him LT in New York, right?
That man is not LT. That man is LDT.
LaDainian, right?
I can't with this guy.
But you know exactly what we're saying, Sirius. There's only one LT, okay? There's only one LT, okay? And I'm looking at him right now because TP knows I got a picture of the GOAT. Number 56 in my basement. So real talk, but yeah. I mean, I don't know. Is there any other football players that we could put on there? Maybe on the defensive side. I don't even know. Is there? I mean, I don't know if you want to say like Urlacher or somebody like I don't know who. I don't know some defensive player that I didn't think of. I did. I put it in there. I had to make my own sound effect because you know Urlacher.
He's brutal.
You know whatever.
He's brutal, bro. That's why I don't like New York fans. I'm telling you, they brutal, man. New York fans are brutal. That's why I don't like. I'm telling you, man. My whole life been around these people, man. I'm telling you.
We might find in 10 years or so. We might find in 10 years or so we're going to be saying Mike Trout in this conversation. But you know that's.
I know that's horrible. That's so horrible. That is horrible, yo. Yo, listen, Heidi. I fell in love with this dude. Like, back. Yo, every time he getting up to the plate, he crushing something this year. Like every time, yo.
Yeah,
so I feel bad for him.
Oh yeah,
he
can't
go. If the Angels get rid of him, they need to contract the show. Like, bye. Just close it down. Shut it all down if they get rid of him.
Just go to the minor leagues, right?
It's like Ohtani's doing all this year. He's leading the league in home runs and starting games, and everyone's like, oh, this is so crazy. First guy to do this since Babe Ruth, this and that. And then the next thing they say is, yeah, but he's not even the best player on the team. Trust better.
Hell no. By far,
yeah, exactly.
Without a question.
Super fast.
Question.
Right? I mean, Trout's got to get out of L.A. I mean, you know what? He could stay there. They didn't need to build a better team around him. I mean, when is enough enough? Like, you've wasted what? How many MVPs do you have? Three? You wasted so many MVP years of this guy's career and prime years of his career. And you haven't built a team around him yet. I mean, there's no salary cap. All you got to do is pay that man his money. And you didn't do it. I hope he doesn't make this list. I really don't.
Yeah,
like,
the problem with the Angels is they have absolutely no pitching. They spend all this money on putting together great offense, but they do not go out and get any big-name pitchers. They passed on, I mean, the list goes on year in and year out. Garrett Cole, Trevor Bauer, all these guys they pass on. And, I mean, the Angels are putting up 10 runs, but they're losing 13-10. Or they're just getting blown out of the water, you know, 13-8. It's every game, you know, and it's sad to see because they have Mike Trout. He could be wasted. I'm an Angel fan, you know. That's my second team in baseball. So you know, it hurts watching this for so long. I mean, they did it when they had Vladimir Guerrero. They had all these good offensive teams, but they do not go out and get pitching. And without pitching, it's just like in football. Defense wins championships. You got to have great pitching in this league to win championships. And until they do that, unfortunately, Mike Trout is, I mean, he has the risk of making this list unless he ends up leaving the Angels, which is kind of unlikely after he signed that record-breaking contract for 12 years. But, you know, I hope Artie Moreno takes his head out of the sand and realizes, hey, I need to get some pitchers. Let's, you know, make this thing happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, I can't agree with you more. And it's heartbreaking to see a player like that get wasted. And not only that, he's on the West Coast. Like I said to you before, Eric, like he's on the West Coast. We don't get to see him a lot around here. When we do see him, we marvel at him. You know what I mean? Like, but we don't get to see him as much. You know, we see a couple series and maybe one or two games on Sunday Night Baseball if they're good, which usually they're not, so they don't make Sunday Night Baseball, so we never see them. It's like, the tree falls in the woods and nobody hears about it. You know, we don't get to see them, but, you know, whatever. Is there any other baseball player that anybody else can think of that, you know, that could have made this list of all-time players that didn't get the chip? I mean, I'm trying to think. We had a couple good players in there. I mean, you could put in the league or retire, either way. Like, you know, I mean, Ken Griffey, to me, it's like probably if you could swap baseball, any player on that, Ken Griffey is the guy I would put on that list. But I couldn't think of anybody else off the top of my head.
That's a very interesting question. I'm trying to, like, think about players, like, from now or, like, yesteryear. Like,
Wait, what about Mike? What about Piazza? Did he get one?
No, he didn't get one.
Because he was a darn good player.
Greatest hitting catcher of all time.
Yeah, but he let Roger Clemens punk him. After he let Roger Clemens punk him, it was like, it's over for you, yo.
I remember that.
I got one. I definitely got one. Tony Gwynn.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Good job. I know you can do it.
When you say two, that boy good.
I know you could do it.
That's one. I mean, we can go back farther, like Ted Williams and then that racist Ty Cobb. But, you know, Ted Williams, one of the greatest hitters of all time, not to get a chip. But to me, Tony Gwynn was my favorite player growing up, and he never got it. And Don Mattingly, New Yorkers, like, you know, me and DH, you know, Don Mattingly, he's not a Hall of Famer. He should be. Right. So, I mean, there's a lot of these guys. You know, Ernie Banks is another guy, great player. Rod Carew from Minnesota in California.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of, but Tony Gwynn, I think, is probably one of the guys that stand out to me the most. One of the best pure hitters we've ever seen. That strike shortened year, he was hitting like almost 400, and then the strike came. It was terrible. I don't know. I mean, any other guy you want to chime in on, or you think Tony Gwynn is a good pick?
Jeff Bagwell.
Okay.
Craig Biggio.
Great tandem.
Andre Dawson.
The Hawk.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think about the people from my growing up era. Damn.
Will How Clark, about Ryan Will Clark Sandberg?
Did Ryan Sandberg, did Will Clark get one?
Yeah, I think Will Clark got one
in Arizona.
Yeah.
I think he was on that team.
Yep.
when they beat the Yankees that year.
They beat who? Wait, say it again.
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't hear you. Please say it again.
Yeah,
who did they beat that
the
year?
Yankees in dramatic fashion, coming back from 3-1
down,
and then with a walk-off hit up the middle.
Don't make
you
put you guys on mute.
Wait a minute. Wait, Eric,
don't make
you
put you on mute.
Wait, there's breakup. Eric, try it again. They're talking while you're talking.
Don't make me.
Here's the deal, gentlemen.
I can put them on mute.
Easy. Do it again.
Hey, they won in dramatic fashion, coming back from 3-1, and a base hit up the middle by Craig Counsell. Game over.
I'm a good chef. I cook well. I cook with Sazon. Don't worry. I'll season for you. Don't worry. Luis Gonzalez.
But listen,
I hated that loss. I would have traded 2 World Series for that one because that was after 9/11. Being that I was living in the Bronx at the time and in New York when all that shit went down, man, I would have traded 2 World Series, maybe 3 for that one, and that one really hurt. So, yeah, of course Tyrone remembers that, and he's
I just needed help.
First of all, you said there was issues with his phone that you couldn't hear him, and then you heard him crystal clear that you heard the team he's a bully, people. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He's not a hero. Take notes, people. He's a bully. Okay. Willie McCovey's another player, too.
You want to know why? Because everybody in the doggone cookout is smiling right now, loving every last bit of that. Come here.
Absolutely.
True. That's funny. Let's talk basketball. I mean, AI. I mean, God, I wish he had got a ring, man. It was tough going up against the Lakers. You got that first win in the game one, stepped over Toronto. I mean, it was great, but it just – they never built a team around AI to really compete with those Lakers and those Spurs teams. Like, I wish he had got one. I wish he really got one. I mean,
how about another Georgetown guy? Patrick Ewing.
Absolutely. He should have. I mean, if it wasn't for John Starks, I mean, just put Davis or somebody in the game that can hit a shot, for crying out loud. That's all we needed was one shot. God,
I mean,
it still kills me to this day.
Yeah, I would put Iverson over Ewing, but, and I put a lot of people over Ewing. But, I mean, I just love the guy, as you guys I'm sure know, So I feel like he had to be mentioned,
Yeah, I mean, and it does hurt that it was another Georgetown guy. 2 Georgetown guys didn't get a ring, TP. I mean, is there anybody else that, we could keep talking about how Georgetown guys didn't get the ring. I mean, is there anybody else that, I mean, there was 2 Georgetown guys that didn't get a ring from Georgetown, Hoyas. Is there anybody else that we could talk about that didn't get a ring from the NBA that, or we could just keep talking about the Georgetown guys? I mean,
I don't know, but the best moment I ever had for John Starks was him kicking the chair. I loved watching that.
I know. John Starks. It's a love-hate relationship with him because I love him. He is a Knick, but he is a Knick in the 90s too because we just came up short. It was like he's the poster child. Like he's a really great Knick, really good player, but just couldn't get it done. Seriously though, I mean Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, those are NBA greats that didn't get a chip. I don't know anybody else.
John Stockton in there. If you're going to throw in Malone, you got to throw in John Stockton,
Thank you, Easy. That's another one, one of the great point guards that not a lot of people talk about. Look at the players that were left in Michael Jordan's wake, that didn't get a chip. I mean, Reggie Miller didn't get a chip. Barkley.
Yeah.
Um,
you know, guys that Michael Jordan repeatedly denied a chip. Gary Payton didn't get a chip until he eventually did, and he did get one with the Heat. He was so he did get his chip, but you know, Sean Kemp didn't get that chip. There's a lot of great players, definitely in the 80s and 90s.
You got Dominique too. Dominique is out there too. You got Neek.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, TP. That's another great one.
You got T-Mac. You got Grant Hill.
T-Mac. Do you think T-Mac?
Vince Carter. Vince Carter's up there too. Vince Carter's on the list.
Yeah. Like, where do you put T-Mac all time? Where do you guys put T-Mac in all time?
He's in my top 35. I want to save him. He's in, like, my top 35. Shit, I want to say top 30. I'll say 35 to, like, save some slots. I'll save myself for, like, the other five. So I'll say 35. But Mac is definitely up there.
I feel like T-Mac is super talented and just had all the tools, it was so athletic, but there's just something missing there for me. I think 35 is a good number, Ty. I feel like.
Barry, record this in moment in time. Like this, we have 15 minutes left, and me and Dave we're agreeing. I don't agree. When did you ever see me and him agree on anything?
The villain is the man. You said the villain is the man.
End the show. Okay, so now we're going to end the show early. We're going to end the show early, people. Everybody give your closeouts, your thoughts, your opinions. Do what you need to do. I think the only thing me and Heidi agree on is Coca-Cola. Other than that, tell about it.
No, I thought he was a new generation. Coca-Cola's for the old ones. You know,
he drinks the red can. Believe me, I know he drinks the red can by far. By far.
Oh, okay. All right. So he's an old timer. Pepsi's for the new generation.
Yeah, forget that Pepsi.
I told you. If anybody knows him, I know.
There is it. There we go. I mean, Eric, who else? Dominique is a great pick. I mean, but like T-Mac, where do you have T-Mac? And then if you had another player that goes in your didn't make the championship from basketball.
The thing is, T-Mac was one of the most underrated players ever, in my opinion. And the sad thing with him was he couldn't stay healthy. He was infected with the injury bug. And, there was talks, believe it or not. When Shaq left, when T-Mac was in his heyday going crazy, that people in L.A. actually wanted to acquire T-Mac. They were comparing him to Kobe Bryant, when Kobe was in the ball hogging stage. A lot of the Laker fans wanted T-Mac to come to town. So, in my eyes, he is. If he would have stayed healthy, this guy would be, he'd be talked about more. He was one of the greatest talents, in our generation of basketball, for sure, hands down.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Vince Carter, too, is a great one, TP. Go ahead, Ron.
You could say the same thing about Grant Hill. If he was able to stay healthy, what his potential was high.
I mean, we saw him leap through at Duke. When he caught that alley-oop, everybody knew Grant Hill was going to be a great pro. And then was it Achilles or it betrayed him. And once he got hurt, he was never the same. It was a damn shame because everybody knew Grant Hill was a special, special player. Still great college player, had a really good pro career, but should have been way better to your point. So, it was a shame how his career kind of ended off. But, T-Mac and Vince Carter, I love that Vince Carter pick by TP. Another great player that, kept playing. But did Vince Carter get a chip in Dallas? Was he on that team? Was Vince Carter on that Dallas team that got a chip or no? He wasn't, right?
No, Vince Carter wasn't on that team. No, he wasn't. Jason Terry, Jason Kidd, Sean Marion, Tyson Chandler, Dirk.
Okay. No, I couldn't remember.
Vince didn't get a ring.
Yeah. For what he did in Toronto, making them relevant, and then, you know, went to New Jersey, had some really good years in New Jersey, and then, you know, kind of after that was kind of moving around from team, bouncing from team to team to team. So, yeah, I mean, I could have swore he was on that team, but, you know, he's a great player.
Nope.
He had a longer career and basically kind of, you know, at the tail end of his career, I wasn't the same player at the beginning. But, I mean, you know, in his hey, he was box office. That guy was a human highlight film, just like Dominique was. So, and Nick, you know, he had that horrific injury with his Achilles. He was never the same player either. I mean, this is the guy that went head-to-head with Larry Bird in the playoffs, like the scoring machine, dunking, and like he was unbelievable. And then just that once he got hurt, it just wasn't the same. Just never was the same.
We mentioned all of these people, right?
Yeah.
And you and David Heidi have the nerve to be sitting right here and don't say Patrick Ewing. The two of y'all sitting right here.
He did.
Be fair.
When did y'all say that?
He said it when I was throwing shade on all the horses.
Yeah, Patrick Ewing was included a while back, for sure.
They said it in passing. Like, that was a passing. They didn't even get passionate about Patrick Ewing. None of them. Neither one of them.
They mentioned two Hoyas and Allen Iverson and Patrick Ewing. The exact words that I just stated were said. That two Hoyas.
Yeah, I said it, and I kept throwing shade on all the Hoyas that don't have rings. You tuned me out as normal. You don't listen to me. You know what I mean?
No, you like, did it quickly. You must have gibbered it out. Eric spoke it nice and legible, like eloquently did whatever he needed to do to get it out. You did a wah bah baloo bah balah bamboo. I thought you was going to get by with it.
David,
I'm not trying to hear that.
David. Didn't I keep throwing shade on the Hoyas that didn't have rings?
No, he kept doing it. I kept laughing.
They're trying to join together.
Great.
This is where they hold hands. They hold hands
okay.
and say,
okay.
like me,
all
the
right.
most shady. Thank
okay,
you, baby.
Kumbaya.
This,
here we go. Georgetown Hoyas don't have rings. Patrick Ewing and Allen Iverson are among Georgetown Hoyas.
Oh, but you ain't saying
nothing
about Alonzo Mourning, did you? Did you say something about Alonzo?
Yeah.
Did you say Alonzo? You said Alonzo Mourning?
Oh, he got lucky. He got carried to that ring. Shaq had to carry him to the podium to get that ring.
He got lucky. What about Jaren Jackson? Jaren Jackson? What about Mutombo? The Gary don't got one.
You got a ring.
You know who Jaren Jackson
ring,
is, right?
I got a ring. You got a ring.
I said Jaren Jackson. You know who Jaren Jackson is?
Oh, come on. Who is he, an all-time great?
Are we saying Georgetown Hoyas or are we saying all-time greats? Wait, hold on. What's going on now?
I just like throwing shade on the Hoyas, but you
okay.
You said
oh,
you
well,
didn't
oh,
hear
I
it,
can
so
really
I
hit you with Donnie. Wait, Donnie Baseball did what? That's your most favorite Yankee fan, Yankee player. Tell me I'm lying.
Because that's dirty. I already moved on to baseball.
Answer me. Who's your favorite Yankee?
Who's my favorite? Derek Jeter.
Oh, stop. You're lying. You're lying.
David.
Listen.
I've broken bread with you in my house. I've had you over. My kids love you. You see the picture right above my desk of Derek Jeter and my signed Tino Martinez picture here. You see Derek Jeter framed in my
you
house.
Play,
how can you sit here and tell
you
me?
Played
that
Little
Derek
League
Jeter's
baseball in
game.
The 80s. You played Little League baseball in the 80s like I did, and you have a Yankee picture that came to you. It was either Dave Winfield or Donnie Baseball. I know doggone well you had the Donnie Baseball one. Don't you sit there and
okay,
act like you all did. Right,
so, okay,
I have
super
both.
Facts.
Look, okay, that's super fact. So you know your hero.
No, no,
look, your hero had a funny mustache and he wore 23 and now all of a sudden in 95, 96 you want to be a Derek Jeter. Stop.
No,
you
I'm
got
gonna
the high school. You got the high school started liking baseball. That's what you're telling me?
Stop.
You're 95 in high school together. We were in high school together in 95, and you started liking baseball then. I'm not buying it.
I think you're getting us confused, Timeless, because Mattingly is my favorite of all time.
Yeah, exactly. I got one of you. Wait, David, I have one. You're one of them. I got one more in the rigger. You know Barry Danwell. Barry, okay, so in the mid to late 80s, like the rest of us when we were T-ball in minor league and then started major league, who was your Yankee player right there?
Who, me?
Was that me?
But TP, see, you always go back to this stuff. You know that my parents brought me up a Met fan. You know this.
Oh, sorry, I rebelled in the early 90s. Okay, no problem. We can end the show right now. That's beautiful. I got him to admit that he's a Met fan. We can keep on going. Look, we can do whatever you want. Look.
Don't make me mute your mic. Dave, you know, I was brought up a Met fan. I don't keep that a secret. You know, Darryl Strawberry was like a god to me. Okay. Okay, but when I was playing little,
he was a hero in the 80s. He was a hero in the New York.
No, I can't have Barry thinking about Johnson & Johnson. I can't have him doing that. No, that's okay. Listen,
my favorite first baseman growing up when I was playing baseball was Frank Thomas.
All right, I've had enough. I can't do this any longer. Look, we can stop this right now.
You want to twist the narrative to support.
No,
your
it's fine. It's okay. I don't want to do anything else.
Argument.
I'm fine.
No,
I give up.
No,
I won't do this anymore.
No,
I'm stopped. I'm done.
Listen.
Dave, I want you to know in the backyard there are Mets baseball bats and all types of paraphernalia. Mets in the backyard. Listen, that's all I'm – and now that
Dave,
we have this
Dave
on
knows.
Air, this is being recorded. I love every last bit of this. Shout out to the Jordan family. I love every last one of you from top to bottom. No further questions, Your Honor. I'm
used to it, you know. I'm used to it, but growing up, half my friends were Mets fans, half my friends were Yankee fans, and there was, like, one Red Sox fan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that one loser that we kicked out, right? Listen, Joe, shout out to Joe, one of the best catcher I ever played with. Shout out, but listen.
Yeah, he's the only Red Sox fan I knew. Everyone else was Mets and Yankees.
Exactly. But, like, my grandfather, he knows the story. I don't even have to keep repeating it. We know Doc Gooden and Darryl Strawberry were my favorite players when I was a kid. When Darryl Strawberry left the Mets, I was heartbroken. I left with him. I didn't go to LA.
Wait, that was like 93. That was like 93, 94. Your mind should have been made up. Listen,
Okay. I know we're calling you the chef, but you're not Raekwon. We're not cooking in the back.
We have to get out of here.
We're not cooking on the stove like Raekwon the chef. Like, he left in like 90. 90.
We have to go.
90.
We have to go. All
right.
No, we have to go.
Give me a – fine. I will continue this on Facebook. We will continue this way. DH, thank you for calling in, brother. Give me a close out. I love you, man.
Yo, love you guys, man. This show has been awesome. Love listening to you guys when I can. And can't wait to hear you again. Thanks, fellas.
Dave, holla at me, man. Happy birthday. Happy belated. Love you, brother.
Thanks,
Ryan, give me a close out. Exactly. Ryan, give me a close out. Thank you so much for calling in, man. We had fun.
Really enjoyed joining all of you. Hope to be back another time.
Absolutely, as always. We had Sirius, he dropped a little early, but Big E, Easy E, Eric, my brother, give me a closeout.
Hey, as always, great show, my brothers. We thank all the listeners. Where can they get this entertainment? Nowhere but the chefs. So continue to listen. We appreciate it. Check us out, sportscitychefs.com. Merchandise, the blogs, the shows. Everybody have a blessed night.
Absolutely. I don't even use it. I don't have to even say more once Eric gets his clothes out, man. Listen, get to the website. We're blogging. We're doing a lot of big things. Get the merchandise. Get yourselves a shirt. We got to get some more merchandise up there. But in the meantime, get your cup of coffee with a Sports City mug. We're doing big things. Follow us on Instagram. We're on all streaming devices, Spotify, Amazon, Google Podcasts. We're on tune in. You can find us. Just find us. You know what I mean? We out there. We doing our thing out there. So just holler at us. TP Timeless, the boss, the head honcho. You know what to do, man. Close us out, brother.
It's a beautiful day, Sports City. I must tell you, I'm getting people like Barry Jordan to confess on there. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, Sports City, chefs. Kaboom, Sports City chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Sports City chefs.
Chef, Sports City, Chef, Chef, yeah, Cabbie, Taj,
woo,
Connecticut,